In the gospel, right after Jesus is baptized, John points him out as the Lamb of God. And as Jesus is moving out, he sees two of John's disciples following him. And Jesus turns around and he says to them, and different translations have it different, but he says, "What are you looking for? Or what do you seek?" Those are the first words of Jesus in the gospel. What do you seek? And James and John, of course, answered, "Where do you reside?" And he goes on from there. But I want to stay with those words. What do you seek? It's something that I think every human being has to answer. Because you see, from the time that we're little, even as babies, we want. I mean, even when a child doesn't know what it wants, the child wants something. There's something inside of the child, even as a baby, that is incomplete. I want, or I seek, but they usually don't use those words when they're little. I want. And how many times is it that you see, I've seen it countless times, children, even as toddlers, throwing a conniption fit over, I want, and I want. I would like you to, I propose to you that I want is an ongoing issue in every single human being's life. I want. We live our lives in this world in a constant state of moving towards whatever you want. It may, as you grow to be an adult, you may be able to defer what it is you want so that you can get it at the long term. But every human being is, I want. Now, obviously, I think if you were to go to the center of that, you would run into the basic desire that every human being has, and that is, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. Now, I may have said this to you before, but one of the most helpful ways to understand I want to be happy, I was introduced to it a few years ago, and it's not something that we have never thought about, but it's a way of organizing what it is that you're looking for. Because you see, let me step back a minute. How much happiness would you be satisfied with? A day? Okay, a week? Would you be satisfied with a year of happiness? 10? 30? And I think if you keep on going, you're going to hit that you want 100% happiness forever. We want limitless happiness. And so the question is that possible? Is it possible? Now, would it be absurd to be born with a desire that you cannot ever accomplish? Does it make sense? I mean, think about it. If you're thirsty, it argues for the existence of liquid or something called water. If you're hungry, that argues for the existence of something to fill your stomach. But if you have a desire for eternal happiness, does it make any sense that a creature would want to have a desire for something that is non-existent? I mean, where would they even have gotten the idea to ask for eternal happiness if it didn't even exist? I mean, think about this. It would be absurd. And so the question still presents itself. What are you looking for? And I think, like I said, when you reduce it down, you're looking for something that will make you happy. Even a person who commits suicide is looking for happiness. They just are interpreting it by, I don't want to hurt anymore. And if I don't hurt anymore, I will be happy. I don't want to live with this anymore. I will be happy. And that is exactly what Jesus was asking. At the deepest level, what are you looking for? And you see, religion, your Christian faith, will never really make sense to you until you connect it to the question, what are you looking for in life? Now, at the bottom, as I said to you, is happiness. But I found, and some of you may have, you'll have to forgive me. I preach at different masses, and I can't remember what I said to whom and when. So, you know, if you've heard it before, it's fine. It's good for you to hear it again. My understanding of happiness first I have come to understand that the desire for eternal happiness that I have, which would encompass permanent fullness of the fullness of happiness, the fullness of truth, I want permanent peace, I want permanent joy, I want things that are just, I want truth, and I want all of those things, but I don't want them piecemeal. I want it all. And I think that that's a normal thing in every human being. I think that that's the way God made us. There's a sentence, see, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And the reason we have the desire for eternal everything is because we're made in the image and likeness of God. I mean, think about any animal, any other animal. No other animal has a desire for eternal happiness. I have a little dog. My dog's name is Eddie. Eddie, by the way, I gave him the name Eddie. Those of you who have ever seen Frasier, Eddie is the dog in Frasier. So Eddie is a multi-poo. He's totally white. Some dick dog about that big. But Eddie doesn't seem to want eternal happiness. Eddie is happy with, I take him on a walk. He's happy. He doesn't want anything more. Maybe a piece of chicken. Loves chicken. But no animal has a desire that we do. See, to me, this is something that I ponder a lot. Why is it, you know, biologists, and they're correct, say that we are animals. We are animals. We have all kinds of stuff in common with animals. We eat, we go to the bathroom, we sleep, we breathe. Normal animal. But why is it that we as animals have this superstructure? You know? Why is it that we want justice? What, have you ever seen a lion want justice? Why is it that we want peace? And if you can go on and on and on. Desires that do not seem to have any correlation to the animal kingdom. And so it has always suggested to me that we have a substructure that is biological, meaning animal, but that on top of that biological substructure, there is where God calls us to be in his image and likeness. And that's the part of us that isn't like animals, that has reason, that has hopes, that has dreams. That is beyond the animal substructure. But we still want, because we're made in God's image and likeness, we still want that eternal happiness. But we can't get it. We can't get it here on this earth. That's why, for me, being a Catholic Christian makes sense. It makes sense because if there is a desire that I have and that every human being has, and that the fulfillment of that desire is not to be found in this world, to me, it always argues for the fact that it needs to be somewhere found. And where it's found is in the life that God has promised to us. And that's why original sin, for example, because remember what original sin is. Original sin is not, I've said this a billion times, it's not that God is punishing us because Adam and Eve ate an apple. That's ridiculous. Original sin is about a story that tells us that somewhere back in proto-history, our forefathers and foremothers somehow disconnected themselves from what God intended for them. Humanity, ever since then, has been, what reminds me is, if you ever, when you play pool, when you do a pool break, have you ever, ask yourself the questions, what determines where all the balls go when you do the pool break? Is there any rhyme or reason where they go? Yeah, there is. Actually, there is. It's called, they react to whatever the latest collision that they had with another ball. That's what they do. That's what humanity reminds me of. We're kind of like that. No sense of, we know this is right. We know something's wrong here. We're all seeking to be happy, but we don't know where to go. We don't know what the point is. So Jesus again turns to the two and says, what are you looking for? And we keep looking, and we keep looking. In one of the things that I learned, which is what I meant to tell you when I said I repeat this, the four levels of happiness. I'll tell you very quickly what they are, because it makes so much sense to me. The first level of happiness, they're all pretty transitory except for the last one. The first level of happiness is when you, for example, it's the physical pleasure. Like, for example, a chocolate sundae dripping with chocolate syrup, okay? You talk about joy and happiness. Oh, man, that explosion that occurs, right? That's the pleasure. But what happens when you finish? It's gone. You want happiness, but what is it that they say? A moment on the lips and years on the hips, right? Or years here. You see this right here? This curvature? This curvature is my constant reminder of my sin. It's right there. My sin is ever before me. But that's the first level. And the second level, reputation. I want to be the best football player. I want to be the prettiest. I want to be better than you. You saw it in the gospel today, didn't you? In the gospel today, John and James go up to Jesus. Can you imagine going up to a professor and saying to that professor, "Professor, I want you to give me whatever I ask of you." Uh-huh. I think Jesus should have laughed. And what did they want? They wanted to be top apostles. They want to be the top. That's the second level of happiness. I want to be important. I want to be seen. Now notice, the importance comes from being seen by others. For me, one time I remember a professor of ours asking, if you would be satisfied, pick the sport or the skill that you want, that you most would like to have. And he says, now imagine that an angel came to you and said, you, what do you want to be best at? And you say, I want to be the best football player or best chess player, whatever it is, the most beautiful. And the angel says, God is going to grant you that, but with one condition. No one else in the world will know that you are the best except you. How's that feel? How's that feel? Something's missing, isn't it? What's missing? The chief that other people say, wow, you. What you're looking for isn't to be the best. You want other people to look at you. And that's the second level of happiness, reputation. What's the third level? I want to do something for people. That's noble. It's very good, noble, very noble thing to do. I want to be helpful to people. And that's good. There's a problem with it, though. You know what the problem is? You get tired. You get tired. Or have you ever think, I do stuff, but they're never grateful. I do stuff for them and they don't appreciate it. So therefore, I'm not doing it anymore. What were you doing it for? You weren't doing it for humanity. You were wanting to be appreciated, weren't you? And what about when you've been doing it for God knows how many years and you go, I'm tired of being good. This is never going to be solved. And ultimately, you get what's called compassion burnout. Compassion burnout. You know, whenever you see people, homeless people, you go, oh God, another one, and another one, and another one, and they never go away. And that's the third level. But you know what the fourth level is? The fourth level is the one that Jesus was talking about. What do you seek? What do you seek? The fourth level is when you do what is good, but you don't do it for people. You do it through people, but you do it because God is asking you to, and He has promised that when you do it for Him, there is a future, and the future includes the answer to your desire for happiness. What are you looking for? What do you desire? What do you seek? I want to be happy for the rest of eternity. You see, when you do something for God, you don't care whether people thank you or not. You don't care whether people appreciate it or not, because you didn't do it for them. I've often said this, I don't know if I've said it here, I didn't become a priest because I wanted to help people. No. So I love you all wonderfully, but you know, I didn't become a priest to help you. I became a priest to serve God, and I serve God through serving you. But you do it because it's right, and you do what you do because it's for God. And if you do it for Him, then all of a sudden, that becomes a permanent orientation. And Jesus begins to say to you, whatever you did for the least of my brethren, you did it for me. And then the what do you seek finds its ultimate home. If you were to go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, why did you come? Just straight up, why did you come? There's an answer right in the New Testament, smack dab for that specific question. Jesus will look at you and say, I have come that you may have life and have it in its fullness. Now, what does that imply? It implies that you don't have it in its fullness. It implies that the happiness that you're looking for, the fullness of happiness, is impossible to find it unless you are connected with God and God gives it to you, because God is the only eternal. Eternal happiness can only be found when you are connected and you do your life. What you seek to do, you seek it for God and you're connected to Him. He is the source of eternal happiness. If you are disconnected from Him, you will get little pieces of happiness, but you will always be not quite there. Not quite there. I remember that song, and this is an older crowd generally, and there's a song, I can't remember the name of the artist. The name of the song is called Is That All There Is? Peggy Lee. If you have not ever heard Is That All There Is, you need to. Because that's exactly the condition of being human. You know, she goes through all these experiences, and when she finishes with the experience, the circus and being in love and all kinds, she says, is that all there is? Is that all there is, my friend? And then she goes to not a Christian answer, but she goes to the only answer that she can have. If that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, because there's nothing else. So what do you seek? What are you looking for? And if what you're looking for is what every single one of us is, then you do what Jesus. What do you seek? You seek Him. The apostles in this gospel today were seeking for power. They were seeking for recognition from Jesus. That's nice, but Jesus is saying, that's not what I came for. Being powerful, if you want to be powerful in my organization, you let go of power and you embrace service. What do you seek? I don't know about you. I'm 72. I really want to be happy. And I don't have too many years left. I mean, maybe 10, 15 at the most, if I make it. But I don't want it to end there. I want to be happy forever. And the only chance that I've got and that you've got is to seek happiness by connecting myself and seeking what He is giving. And what He's giving is life in its fullness. It's the only way you're going to get it. Otherwise, is that all there is?